Hey, post-production Dan here. This week, Kanye West finally released his Jesus is King project, and so we brought back Kanye expert and Audioface fan favorite Annie to dissect the rollout of the album and get her general thoughts on it. After that, Sean and I discuss our thoughts from the album, and once you're all Kanye'd out, we have three regular album reviews, updates on last week's music buzz, and new singles at the beginning of the episode, just like any other Audioface. So yes, it's a long one, it's a jam-packed episode, but we're gonna get right into it because it's a lot of fun.
Hello, humans. Welcome to Audioface episode 118. We are an irreverent podcast about music, news, and culture that mostly matters. I am Tron.
You're Tron. I'm Dan. You were doing so well with the intros. I'm going to have to take that back. We are.
I guess we're not here. Doing take two. Fuck it.
No, we're not doing take two. This isn't take two games over here. We have even fewer employees. This is going to be a really interesting episode.
Yeah, we have albums and shit. So, albums.
We have like a lot of singles. Sometimes we bring you big ones, sometimes we bring you little ones. This time we'll bring you. It depends on the weather, honestly.
Phrasing.
It depends on the weather.
I'm just gonna leave that there. So Kanye.
Kanye has an album called Jesus is King. You may have heard about it. We're gonna talk about that on the top of the
hour
episode. Yeah, it's probably gonna be an hour. We have Pony. We have Rex County. County. We have Cry by Cigarettes After Sex, and we have Bad Ideas by Tessa Violet.
Violet.
Yep. Yes.
So we're gonna get right into it.
Yeah.
Porches released a single called Range Rover. That's his first single since he released his album that we reviewed last year. What's it called? I'm blanking on it. The House.
Yes.
That came out in early 2018, which we both liked. It was kind of a little over the place, but we did like Range Rover. Is amazing.
Range Rover is sophisticated, is how I describe it.
Holy shit. Yeah, it's really good. It's a really, really, really good single. I've been listening to it on repeat since it came out. His voice sounds different for sure. It sounds more higher pitched, like a little more youthful than it did before. And all the other work I've heard, especially The House, his is more of a bass, and this is definitely tenor. So I don't know when he recorded it or if he did change those vocals or something, but definitely sounds different in that department. But the production of the song, the lyrics, everything is fantastic. I can't recommend it enough.
It does this really nice changeover in the middle of it, which is like, there's some production chops right in there. It sounds like a really basic thing, but it can really kind of like make a song a little bit different. It's one of the things that rock really has that rap doesn't really do that often, where in the instrumentation, it changes up in like the middle or near the end of the song to really make something that makes it a little bit like less forgettable, definitely more memorable. And so I love when songs do that. There are going to be a couple ones that do this in this episode. But with that, we know that Porches is probably going to be coming out with new music.
Which, I'm all for it. So,
yeah.
You heard it here first, folks. And then my favorite sellout band, Coldplay, sold out some more.
Yeah.
They had a little double single thing called Orphans and Arabesque off of their new album that is coming out.
I believe it's in November. It's coming out this year, for sure.
It's definitely coming out this year. Everyday life.
Coldplay announced like they're sending these letters in the mail to some of their fans. They're going to announce this album. They're going like really analog for it.
Radiohead's done that plenty of times. They sent little like microfilms of stuff that they've done in the past. Like, here you go, guys. We don't need this.
Okay, but I thought like that was specifically for people who bought an album. That wasn't like randomly they're going to mail out this thing. Like, you bought a special edition of this album and we're going to send you a little bit like of a radio.
It was that, and then it was to fans in general, who have bought things, though, who have on their list of stuff.
On their list.
Yeah.
Tom York's making his list, checking it twice. Anyways, Orphans and Arabesque. I actually did not hear these two.
I still fake believe that one day Coldplay is going to go back to, you know, clock sound, but that's never going to happen in a million years. It's just overgeneralized pop. That's basically what they've become now. It's... Orphans is just a giant, just a normal pop piece, but it has a bunch of voices over choir sounds and stuff, and they're trying to be, I don't know, really woke, but they're not.
Is there a message they're trying to? I mean, like, Arabesque and Orphans, this is about, like, immigration, that kind
I
of
guess. I didn't really listen to the lyrics because I was just sitting there, like, I'm so disappointed still. I'm, like, disappointed but not surprised. It's just how I came from it. I'll go more into it when I listen to the full album, obviously, but it's whatever. I just browse through it. I'm, like, oh, they're these two singles. Let me listen to them. And it's like, they haven't changed since A Head Full of Dreams. As Ghost Stories wasn't terrible. Milo Xyla was terrible. Ghost Stories had a couple decent songs in it, and A Head Full of Stars, they just took the piss out of it and went full sellout. So,
you know, I think we should do a Coldplay retrospective episode, because, like,
I'm down. I'm super down because,
like, you are actually a Coldplay devotee. You keep, like, it's like being a fan of a sports team that's really bad. You just, like, keep coming back.
Exactly. When they get relegated to, you know, Bundesliga 2, and you're like, you know what? I'm going to still cheer for Stuttgart, even though they suck ass. But Mario Gomez is on Stuttgart, so might as well. Yeah.
Yeah, you just like keep coming back for more disappointment. But you just like keep coming with a smile on your face. We should do that because you liked Coldplay for a moment and then they switch. But we'll leave that to the end.
Definitely still listen to their old stuff because it's fan fucking tastic. We'll definitely do that.
Yeah. And
this is something that you put on.
To put completely different, we have I really want to call this Hagen Dazs, but it's like Hagen Dazs or whatever they want to do it.
Yeah, because copyright infringement.
Who has no idea. Anyways, I'm pretty sure you can make references to brands in like lyrics.
I mean, Gucci is Gucci Mane, so.
I mean, yeah. Sprite did a whole like thing with, off of Vince Staples. Yes. Like, yeah, so you can do it, but they just chose to pronounce it in an interesting way. But Hagen Dazs, Hagen Dazs is by Ghetto Sage, just like three rapper trio from this like new school of rappers that are really great. I was talking about you, I'd even put like Bishop Nuru in this category, even though he's not actually on this album specifically.
We have definitely a big line of up-and-coming rappers that are quite good.
And Bishop Nuru has an album coming out next month, I keep remembering. You're really going to want to listen to this podcast, because the fall is a really nice, like, whomper of, like, the time fall. For music comes out. Yes. I saw someone, like, in a picture where they had a Gorillaz photo, and it said, like, the fall was a good album, changed my mind. Anyways,
I mean, that had that weird spider song on it, and I fucks with that one.
Ghetto Sage is Smino, Sabe, and No Name, so three really good artists kind of going on there. That bitch fast, how's it us? Ice cream, on the inside, how's it us? Ice cream. Papi, you don't wanna fuck with me. Half a suicidal bitch might suck you up and dust the knees and hit the streets, rejoice a little. Rifle for my everything, his body's a casket. The line in cherry wood, the pussy turn him ashes to ashes. I dash it, I come up. I'm sucking dick cause black lives matter. I scatter roses on my metaphor cause the world shot nipsy. When a girl got tipsy, I went to Ben and Jerry, got my berry on. Whole world city crashing and burning niggas, just carry on. Sort of trappy, but I kind of like the mix of the three on there. I definitely want to see what they can do, some different production.
Oh, for 100%. The main thing that I came out of it, I definitely want different production because it had the normal trap beat, but it didn't. And the thing with trap, when you have a bunch of artists come together, is usually it just, after a while, you just stop listening to it because it gets very underwhelming. This is not it at all. All three of the performances are good and they go along with each other. They're quite cohesive. Yes. For once in a trap song, it doesn't happen that often, but this one I'm like, okay, I can get on board with it.
Yeah. Also,
which doesn't happen often.
Of the three, No Name's part was the best.
No Name's fantastic.
Because like all the female rappers this year are just like kicking so much ass. It's so
No Name's very
sad.
Good.
Not even like sad in a bad way, but it's like it's unfair to the male rappers, except like, you know, not really, because anyways, you can continue to follow us for all our opinions and stuff you love on Twitter and Instagram at AudioFacePod. Like we said, it's going to be a really fun kind of couple of months and weeks, and even an episode we have right now. And now we're going to talk Kanye with Annie and get a little bit of her thoughts on Jesus is King before getting to Sean and I's review. Okay, joining me now is Annie, who is our resident Kanye expert, as you'll remember from episode 70 bonus of Audio Face. Annie, great to have you back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back.
And first of all, I guess we just got to clear the air on something, because it's not really Audio Face tradition if you not only come on the podcast, but reference another time on the podcast in which you were correct.
So I just wanted to correct my title. I am now the resident Kanye prophet, because back in episode 70, I predicted word by word that Kanye would start making some super Christian content. And so if you want to play the clip, let the audience know what's up. I'm going to make a prediction first, because Ooh. Usually in American fame and a lot of meltdowns, like famous meltdowns, there's this big trend where, like, you know, people like ruin their images, their careers and all that, whether that be through just like reputation or like drugs and stuff. And oftentimes when they go to like the really extreme end of things, and then there's a point where they cool down and then they come back, the comeback point is often them getting really Christian. Like, really, really Christian. So, like, I wouldn't be surprised where, like, you know, Kanye, like, you know, keeps blowing and blowing up with all this political stuff, but then sort of, like, I don't know, maybe his, like, mental episode, like...
How's it come to Jesus moment?
Maybe his mental episode haywires him. He's, like, silent for, like, a few years, and then he comes back, and he just makes, like, really Christian rap or something, and he just becomes this like weird evangelist. And that's just what I see in like American fame in general. People just get hella Christian.
Yes, okay, you were right. You did the thing where you were right. That's we have
boom.
Yes. Okay, so it actually is a pretty amazing prediction. That's why I had you on.
I should have put my bets on it. I should have put harder bets on it.
But that's why I had you on as the Kanye expert, because I knew you have a little bit of this intuition, and now the audience gets to share in all of your glory. But
it's like, it's almost too corny. Like, God damn it, man. I didn't want to be right, but like that's just how it always ends up with these celebrities. It's just they go crazy and then they go Christian, or in Lindsay Lohan's case, Muslim.
Oh God. Yeah. That's a rabbit hole to go down to, especially now. But yeah, I was actually going to ask you, like, to go back into that mode in which you were making that prediction and to isolate, like, how you knew that he was going to make this path. But as you just said, there's so many other celebrities who have made this sort of path where they mess up publicly and their whole redemption thing is, like, coming to Jesus or having some religious awakening moment. So this is a path that isn't, like, it's not, like, a new thing Kanye's doing here.
No, it's not. I mean, he's always been like a Christian man, but I think, you know, with the connotations of like, I believe in God, but I am a God. And now it's manifested into like, I am only going to make music for God, about God. And, like I love gospel music, and I can also listen to Christian rap as well. This isn't a diss on like Christianity or him being Christian. It's just, Jesus is King. It's not a good album. It's not a good gospel album. It's not a good rap album. What the fuck?
Yeah. Hot takes from the Kanye, resident Kanye fan here.
Not anymore. Just Kanye prophet. I hang my hat as a fan, and I'm just gonna be like a weather forecaster, but for manic celebrity, I don't know.
Meltdowns.
Meltdowns.
No, it'll be great. Just like I kind of had the notions of like, oh, the Ben Shapiro expert, let's go to you. It's like it's a quality you don't necessarily want. Like, oh, great, I have a lot of knowledge about this thing.
Yeah,
I
it's
don't
my
want
pager.
A lot of things. Yeah.
Yeah, it's whenever a Kanye thing comes out, you're just going to page me and be like, all right, Annie, what are you going to say now?
Yeah. So before we get into how we kind of thought of the album, I think just as kind of old time's sake, as a Kanye, someone who analyzes, let's say, what he's doing and what he's up to, let's just talk about the messy rollout to this album. Cause I think part of any Kanye album experience is the rollout to said album. And, boy, did we have some entertainment from this one. If I could just lead things in, it kind of just started with the release date of it itself. So
We could kind of start way from last year where Kim Kardashian said that, hey, Kanye's in Africa and he was supposed to release an album. Like, that was supposed to be Yandi. That was going to come out Thanksgiving weekend or late November or something. And then that just sort of never happened. And we kind of never heard about it again, except for some ringtones on Apple, or I guess what was then iTunes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so do you remember of those ringtones and if any of that made it to this album? Because I'm not sure. This might be totally different songs.
I actually have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, basically...
I'll admit that.
Yeah, Yandi was leaked as these ringtones. And I'm not sure if these are the same tracks or not.
What is this? What is this? 2002 ringtones?
Yeah, I didn't actually know people bought ringtones, but...
I didn't actually know you could modify your ringtone like you could back in the day.
All right.
Okay.
Well... Yeah, it turns out they were a scam, but that sort of freaked people out. Yeah, all the song names are not, like, correct, but that's just part of the hilarious Kanye rollouts, right? And so then we get closer to when it's supposed to happen, and it was supposed to release, like, what, 2-3 weeks ago? Time's a flat circle to me. But the release date came and went, nothing really happened of it. There were some rumors that every time Kanye heard or played back Jesus is King, that he would stop the playback and then go back into the recording studio to mix it or change it around some more, because every single time he played it, even though he was supposed to release it, he never liked the finished product.
That seems to be his creative process nowadays.
It's as much of a creative process as, like, turning in your homework after you've gotten, like, 3 deadline extensions and then turning it in late.
But you're absolutely famous, so you don't even care about the teacher. You're like, you can just tell the teacher, I can buy you. Fuck the final.
All the rich kids who had cars on campus.
Oh my god.
But then, and I think the creme de la creme is where we had this Zane Lowe interview. Right before, this was like the day before Jesus Was King was scheduled to come out. This was past Thursday. Where he goes on Zane Lowe, beats one popular interviewer and kind of just does this big tell-all about his creative process, as we're talking about what went into the album. Mm-hmm. And we had some interesting revelations from that, one being that Kanye says he has a porn addiction and has been grappling throughout that.
That's not new news.
Yeah, that's not new news, but I guess the new about it is that he's addressing it in a different way, because I think he's had a flair for the extravagant and the salacious. I guess you look at the album cover for Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, if you can actually find the uncensored version of it. Mm-hmm. It's sort of just like the rap persona. And like, this is not surprising, as you were saying, right? Like, it's a well-known thing throughout his career.
Yeah, but now I find, at least like from the tidbits I heard of that interview, was now he wants to respond in an opposite and almost hypocritical direction. Like, he asked his contributors of the album to abstain from premarital sex and fast during the making of the album, which is like do you know, like, who you are and what you've been through? Like, like, what? I actually, low-key, I think that, like, nobody probably listened.
Oh, of course not. That. Of course not.
Probably was just, the whole Sunday service was just fucking each other on the side.
I think the Jesus is King experience is actually heightened when you imagine that every voice that comes out of that album other than Kanye's is just, like, heavily fornicating. Just, like, everyone in the mm-hmm. album is just going down. Like, honestly, I had that thought as I was listening to some of the choirs, and I'm like, okay, get it, sister.
Exactly. No, they're amazing. So... If I could just extract Kanye out of that album and just listen to his Sunday service choir, or just have an entire album by them, which apparently he's going to release a Christmas album with the Sunday service choir. I hope it's just going to be them. But knowing him, he has said verbatim that he likes the sound of his own voice. He can't just oversee a project. He has to be in there some way to... As we saw with, you know, that 1-5 album manic episode that he had.
You coined it so well back in that episode 70 bonus, and I think I've just kind of continued going with it, that 5 album manic episode that you said. Also, I mean, are you willing to take bets on the release date of this new album that Kanye's talking about?
I hope never. I just hope he stops. I mean, as we were talking about last time, like it's okay to continue your career as a producer, and people have done that before, but there's a point where you just gotta know, like, you just gotta stop making stuff. Like, Tom Cruise, stop making movies.
Oh my god. I definitely agree with you there that the production is where Kanye sort of thrives still, and he should maybe stay relegated to that. Really fast.
But actually, I mean, the mixing on this album, Jesus is King, what did he record it on? Like, it sounds like he recorded it on a Rock Band microphone or like an iPhone microphone. What the fuck? Like, the quality of everything is so bad that it's just like, it. Even if I know he's a good producer, it's almost like he doesn't care about that anymore. And so what can I even say to that? Like, he just cares about like pushing out like the word of God now, but you know, he can't make his voice at least balance out with the rest of the music. Jeez.
Okay, we're getting really close into like how the album actually is, and there's one other thing I wanted to talk about mainly before this, which is like the Sunday Service shows. So like, you actually put me onto those when they were happening, because that was kind of happening in the lead up to late 2019, where Kanye was doing these pop-up shows on Sunday that were like pseudo-religious, but kind of remixes of his old music. He would have choirs there. He did them at Coachella. He did them at other places. And so, like, coming from that music, you seem, and a couple of other like former Kanye heads had seen it as like, oh, this is a really interesting.
Oh my god, it's so funny. Like, it's so funny to hear a gospel cover of like Father Stretch My Hands Part One. Like, we love that song, you know, it's
absolutely
a great like anthem, it's a great banger, but then like you remember that it starts off with like, so if I fuck this model and the lines that follow that. So I'm like kind of laughing about his whole like his whole Christian movement and like the gospel covers of his songs, which are very raunchy to begin with. And I'm like, okay. Oh yeah, I think I mentioned it to somebody, like, it's, you know, when you know, when like Christian choirs do like covers of like pop songs and they like turn it into like Christian camp style songs that everybody can sing, like this, like the Sunday Service stuff was like that for Kanye's music. It was like corny Christian camp renditions of Kanye's music.
Yeah. And I think the best way you could even like spin it is, okay, Kanye is making his music now appeal to this gospel audience. The gospel is kind of built in. There are people who like it, basically because of their religion, and then they'll like the musical portion of it. And so Kanye's making kind of a pivot so that he can make music that is contemporary and modern, but for this particular group of people. I mean, like, if you're trying to be the most like charitable to Kanye and his like world and his ideas, that's probably where we're putting him, of like trying to do things. But we keep in mind, and a lot about this role has to do with Kanye saying that his psychiatric emergency that he was put into kind of led him down this path of Christianity and coming back to Jesus and deciding that I no longer want to make rap music with really like like touchy lyrics, let's say. And I want to make just Christian music with no cursing and anything like that. He doesn't even want to perform his old songs originally anymore.
No sin.
Yes, of course.
Beat the devil out of it, as Bob Ross would say.
Because we all know, as Jesus said in Ephesians, if I get bleach on my t-shirt, then I'm gonna think I'm an asshole. Okay, so now the moment we've all been waiting for, let's get into Annie. What is your thoughts mainly about Jesus is King as an album?
My thoughts about Jesus is King.
So first of all, like, it's pretty short, actually, like, for an album, let's say, especially, like, a Kanye album. It's pretty normal fare for what you'd see, like, in this year. But did you like the length? Were you asking for, like, more of this? I get the feeling not, but
I wasn't asking for this. I didn't consent to this. Please stop, Kanye. Okay, so I think... If you're a Kanye fan that has at least followed from the College Dropout, we can all kind of nod our heads and agree that, like, this is not what we want. This is not what we like. And I'm curious who is even out there that likes this as a fan that has been following Kanye for a long time. So I think we can clear that off the table, but I don't like this album. I think it's really cringy to listen to, not for the subject matter, but for how it's executed with the Chick-fil-A line and in the bad mixing, as I mentioned, and just the rush nature of it.
Close on Sunday, you my Chick-fil-A. Close on Sunday, you my Chick-fil-A. Hold the selfies, put the gram away. Get your family, y'all hold hands and pray.
I'm gonna give my answer as a Kanye historian, as a Kanye analyst. But so at least even up to what he was doing in Ye and Kids See Ghosts, every album of Kanye's had both a concept and a new stylistic delivery. Like, he was always bringing on some new style, like with first of all, like with Late Registration, like that's when he started incorporating this gospel vibe into his music. And then afterwards, like My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, like making his music more cinematic. Yeezus, like fucking tearing shit up and just breaking down his music into this completely different place that nobody thought he would take it. And then even Kids See Ghosts and Ye, like there were still some novelty to things. Like, he was still experimenting with the way that he was producing things and adding his creative insights into his music, even though his music wasn't necessarily getting better at that point. What I don't like about Jesus Is King is the things that he has established, the styles he has established that has made his music so influential, there's nothing new in Jesus Is King. He is actually, I think, using his old styles that worked really well. He's recycling it again and putting it in this Christian format, but it doesn't feel novel anymore, nor is it even used well. So like there is a lot of Late Registration vibes. There's also like On God sounds like a really, it sounds really inspired by the Yeezus sound that he made as well, but it's not like it's better. It's not like it's Yeezus 2. It's just like, oh, this has kind of a similar recognition to previous things that he's done, but he isn't doing anything new as a musician. So that's my criticism with it, is that like, at least I valued Kanye because he was always doing something new. And even with, I think in Kids See Ghosts, there was just that one point where he's just like, rap. And I really like that moment as well. But Jesus Is King, there's nothing that I see that is like creative innovation anymore. So I think if this is a forecast to whatever music he may put out in the future, God willing not, that he's just gonna go back and see like, oh, what cool thing did I do before, or what beat did I use before? Let's use that again on my new Christian music. If anything, somebody pointed out to me that the song Yikes on the Ye album is the exact same beat as Follow God on Jesus Is King. And I checked and I'm like, yeah, like that's not even like Kanye sampled himself before and used it in an innovative way, but like straight up, those two songs are literally just the same beat with some new layers on top of it.
Russell Simmons wanna pray for me too. I'ma pray for him cause he got me too. Thinking what if that happened to me too, then I'm on E News. Shit could get menacing, frightening, find help sometimes. Stretch my hands to you.
life like. This is what your life like. Try to live the life right. People really know you push your buttons like type right. This is like a movie, but it's really very lifelike. Every single night, right? Every single fight, right? I was looking at the gram and I don't even like lights. I was screaming at my daddy, told me it ain't Christ-like. I was screaming at the referee,
but
just like.
That's the point where, like, I can see that, like, no, that's a recycle. That's not a creative use of, like, a previous sample of your stuff.
Yeah.
So that's my criticism on why this is a bad moment in Kanye's discography in comparison to what he's previously done.
And if I could, like, tie, I think I found a good understanding of the religious aspect of this. So there's a lot of ways that this is, like, a minefield to even walk through. Religion for some, like, for everyone really is, like, something that's a very personal thing to them. And some people have, well, everyone has really strong opinions about it. And for some people, religion means different things. It's like a grounding sort of aspect or a guiding aspect or a spiritual aspect. So coming at this, considering I'm not speaking for you, but I'm not the most religious person. My criticism with this album aren't necessarily that Kanye is making a pivot towards Christianity. It's that a lot of this seems to be like Kanye's move has been towards Christianity and the way he has reframed himself and revisioned himself. And honestly, to his world, he's healed himself is through the realm of Christianity. But a lot of that is through the self, whereas my limited knowledge of Christianity, and look at how the tides have turned to where I am now preaching what Christianity is about to be like. I'm sure my Catholic teachers are so proud, / rolling in their graves. But like Christianity is supposed to be more than just about the self. There's a lot of self-actualization and self-realization that one comes through it, but it's also about the actions that you do with other people. And there's a little bit of like Kanye kind of motivating other people to like, you can see yourself and you can be anything with God, just accept God. But a lot of that is kind of just a recycling of Kanye West's ego and sort of a viewing of him as being this super spiritual higher power that's capable of anything, that can do anything he wants to, that isn't really stopped by the regular forces or things you see. So like, much like a lot of the music is recycled and continued, I think that the themes are recycled and rehashed, except that now it's been like washed with this new cone of Jesus paint. And but it's still like kind of
Jesus paint.
It's kind of the same like Kanye West that's still there, but it's not really showing a lot of growth or change. Which is sad in general, but you see a lot of artists who are just like very stagnant and don't change. Like I know Offset hasn't like changed as much as the Migos or anything like that, but you definitely expect better from Kanye West, and you would kind of trash on this sort of, or I would kind of trash on a sort of album that showed this little growth anyways. So it's looking like how you feel is similar to a lot of other people, that this album's mostly a dud that's good with like has good production, but it's not really pushing production forward in a Kanye West way, which sucks because we know he used to be capable of so much more. But would you kind of, like, what would you say to that point about whether Kanye is making music for the sake of Christianity or kind of just as another outlet for himself and his own creativity? Like, has he really had his come to Jesus moment, or is he just kind of continuing to make music about himself and see where his ego flies in this, like, never-ending performance art project known as Kanye West?
That's actually a really good point that you make, and now that I'm thinking back on the lyrics of Jesus is King, I realize that I forgot which song it was, but there is one song where he's saying like, I was talking about making a Christian album and yet it's the Christians that are the ones that are judging me the most for it. Like, he's, the whole song is about like feeling judged by his own Christian community. But really, like, if you're gonna be a person of God and you're gonna like share the message that you think is right, like, why do you care what anyone says? But it's Kanye, like, he cares about what everyone says, even if it's negative stuff. He's gonna be like they're always gonna be talking. And so yeah, it is a very egocentric album, and therefore I don't know how it feels like a Christian album, because or any religious album should be encouraging one to be virtuous, do good, help others, I would hope. Yeah, this album doesn't make me want to do that, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a really great point. And honestly, also, I'm trying to think, like, what has Kanye actually done in his personal life now that he's some new man of God? Like, how has he actually helped the world? Like, all he's done is donate millions of dollars to, like, art projects that are already, you know, like, high profile and also kind of snooty in a way, like the James Turrell art, which I think it's beautiful and all that, but like, if you're trying to be like this new community man, like, why aren't you going back to your neighborhood in Chicago and like helping out the schools, helping right. out the neighborhood? I honestly think that what Kanye thinks he is he thinks he could be Nipsey Hussle, but he's not doing what Nipsey Hussle did. And so that's his flaw. He's just tooting himself as this man of God now just to feel like, probably subconsciously, just to make up for what he thinks is like the shitty things he's done in the past, like being a rapper, having a sex addiction, being a player, and like just living this life of glamour and excess. And that's kind of how a lot of people who turn towards religion, it's only to kind of validate themselves as like, I'm a good person. But are you really, unless like you are going to do those actions to help your community instead of like make your own weird Jesus society?
Yeah, like it's
where you can probably evade taxes.
Yeah, like it's taking on Jesus as a brand and not as like a system of ideals and a way to like kind of treat other people better, which is the other aspect to most religions and most other like belief systems, is how do you go out into the world with that, with others? And a lot of it is about self-introspection too. And I don't want to like say that Kanye doesn't have space to do it, but as someone who is egotistical as Kanye, just because there's some like repenting towards the Lord and Jesus and all that stuff, there isn't a lot of human sort of repenting and giving back and kind of stepping himself down and humbling himself down in that way still, or which is funny.
Minus like, you know, the repenting of whatever he believes is like sinful action. What about like I don't think he's made any change on his political beliefs at all. Like, he just made probably one mention of the 13th Amendment in the whole album or something, but has he really educated himself on like the societal injustices that he was totally ignorant of during his like his MAGA phase? If anything, Kim probably is doing a better job of that, like reforming herself and making her aware of societal issues, than Kanye is. Kanye's just like, I'm going to be a man of God now, and now I'm a better person.
Pretty much. There is one thing that we'll talk about with Sean later in the episode, is that Kanye donated $1 million to prison reform groups for Kim Kardashian's birthday. Kind of, he did it for all of his kids in her name. So even then, like, is it a gift for Kim Kardashian, or is it a gift for prison reform, or is it both? You don't really know.
If Kim Kardashian wasn't there, would he still give that money?
Yeah, and like it's a very like, open question. I can't say yes, but I definitely can't say no. Like it's all weird there. But I think if we can,
okay, he can give $1 million to prison reform, but $10 million to an art project. What the fuck?
Okay, that's pretty fair. I didn't know the numbers were that bad, but that's pretty fair. I think as usual, Annie, even though we come to you for like Kanye knowledge and wisdom, we always leave with fewer answers than we have questions, but it's always great to get to talk to you in general and also kind of figure out what's up with our mans and what's going on. I appreciate you coming on, Annie. Please come on more. This would be fun.
Of course. Thank you for having me. I wanted to sign off by saying that when we say I miss the old Kanye, be careful what you wish for.
Thank you for that sign off. Although your sign off should have been, I was right.
I didn't want to be right. I'm sorry.
It's okay. The world forgives you.
Does God forgive me?
No, that's a different album. We'll find out on Christmas. It's always such a pleasure when Annie and our other guests share their musical insights with us. Thank you very much for coming on, Annie, for that. Okay, so here is Sean and I's review of Jesus is King, along with the rest of the podcast. And if you listen to the very end, first of all, thank you. And second of all, there's some Kanye musings that Sean and I had that I decided to edit out of the main part of the podcast that I left near the end, just for you real ones out there. There's often occasional gems hidden at the end of AudioFace episodes, so if you know, you know. Anyways, let's get back to that and then normal pod. Jesus is King is not necessarily a gospel album.
No.
it definitely is rappy. Like, it has rap production in it.
It is, yeah.
We can get right into it. It has is 11 songs long, 27 minutes.
Follow God is definitely a rappy song, and it's actually quite good. I'll give him that song. It felt like that's the first oldish Kanye song I've heard in years.
Yeah.
Which is Follow God. The production of that song, everything was good. The rest of the album is whatever. Basically, right. Is how I listen to it. It's not terrible. It's definitely better than Life of Pablo, because Life of Pablo was a fucking disaster. And Ye was random. Kitsikos is okay. But this album's, as I like to say to my friends, it's 3.6 Ronkin. It's not great, not terrible. You know, it's when you've got your radioactive meter on trying to figure out if you blew up the reactor or not. And you're like, it's not great, it's not terrible. You're not going to die, but you might lose some hair. That's pretty much this album to me. I do like Follow God.
I like Follow God and On God. It sucks that, like, every time I say these songs, it's going to have this whole, like, God thing. And, like, I guess
On
I
God
should be clear
that
I have,
whatever.
Like, a pretty interesting bias towards all things religion. That's just where I'm coming at from things. That's my problem. I'll work on it in therapy. Probably never. But it's clear that I saw that one criticism with the way this album is shifted. Also, you'll notice that no song on this album has any curse words. It's not really explicit. It's actually pretty light on features, which I thought was an interesting and good decision from Kanye West.
Because the one with Ty Dolla Sign sucks. That sounds terrible.
Yeah, all the features are pretty forgettable, to be honest. And there definitely is gospel in here, like some classic, like, you know, church.
Every hour, the first song has it's a church choir in it. You have Sela that has it as well. Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord at the end for sure.
Yeah,
uses gospel, sort of like a mix.
Yeah, it has a mix with Kenny G, which is super random.
It's a natural kind of flow for Kanye, because he's always used vocals in his music. And I always think of the song, and now this is a classic, really, like, forebear, but Jesus Walks, the old Kanye West song.
Mm-hmm.
That even used a gospel choir to say, like, Jesus walks with me. Like, that's
what I mean, and I wonder, Kanye does something similar too.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's not terrible.
It's definitely better than Ye.
Definitely.
It might even be, I'd say it's at least as good as The Life of Pablo, which is to say at least as flawed as The Life of Pablo.
I didn't think it's better than The Life of Pablo, because I did not like The Life of Pablo at all.
I think the bangers, there are more bangers on The Life of Pablo that I would remember.
For sure.
Yeah.
But this one as a whole, I could listen to it and not have to stop the album and be like, ugh. This one I could listen to it and be like, okay, it's average at best.
Also, we need to, I've been, like, trying to listen to the Kanye fans' perspectives here, and actually a lot of them really don't like the album, but they have said that something has to be said for Kanye's ability to really change his sound, even though it is in the background
does.
Of completely, like, manic episodes.
Yes.
And that's definitely here. Like, this is a gospel album that really, in production, definitely landed still, even though, like, you know, the backdrop of all of his personal stuff going on. I think my analysis of Kanye West is the same as it was last year when he had that, like, 5 week long release of albums.
Yeah.
Where I said that he is a great producer. He's still got a lot of chops as a producer, but he needs to kind of cool back with the lyrics.
Yeah. I mean, Follow God is a great example of that, because the production of that song is great.
Yeah.
It sounds like the old Kanye that I love. So.
Yeah.
Anyways. Oh, we don't have arbitrary system, do we?
Actually, we do have an arbitrary scale. We could do Secret Service raids.
Secret Service raids.
Because, you know, Trump did the thing today.
What did we do last week?
We did blackouts.
Blackouts did we do last week. Okay, Secret Service raids.
Yeah, so there's al-Baghdadi, there's Osama bin Laden.
I mean, there's the failed Watergate.
No. These have to be, like, we're talking about killing terror, Sean.
Oh, yeah. Damn, all right. Jesus. What about the failed attempt to kill Yamamoto in World War II? That's OSS, so...
Sure, yeah. Okay, go ahead. I don't have one extremely, like, ready for me right now, so I'm just going to say this is Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, because, fairly recent. Also, remember, Trump didn't actually kill him. It was Secret Service, because he tweeted that when Obama said it. And secondly, you know how he didn't die, right? He wasn't actually, like, shot.
No.
He heard they were coming and so he suicided himself.
He Hitlered himself.
Suicide.
The one thing I'll give kind of credit is he donated $1 million to prison reform.
Yes.
Props, because it's a bipartisan effort to reduce the number of people in prison, which I fucking give you credit for, because I agree with that.
Yeah. Another thing, he also announced another album. It's going to be coming out on Christmas. I think it's called Jesus is Born.
And that's the gospel album.
Really?
That should be
the
gospel.
That's what you heard?
When I looked at it, it said that'll be the one for the Sunday service.
Okay, allegedly. Well, that's... First of all, this is pretty Sunday service, like, ready, because Kanye's bringing his style to Sunday service. That's totally fine. And, secondly, like, this... Maybe it's more gospel. Maybe it's just more Christmassy. It could totally be more gospel.
Who cares?
Everyone remember that Jesus was not born on Christmas. That'd be ridiculous if you actually read the Bible. Anyways,
born in summer.
We're done. High five. We finished. Yay. We finished Kanye.
Let's go on to. Well, first off, 2020 is gonna be fun.
Yeah, I thought this would be a way to like cheer us up after. Yeah,
because we have Kesha in January, Miramasa in January, Tame Impala, Little Dragon, the 1975.
Yes, yes.
So there's going to be hella music coming out in 2020.
We're talking about it right now just because a lot just got announced right now. Exactly. A lot got announced for November. December is usually a quieter month, which is why we have...
unless you're 21 Savage.
Yeah, unless you're 21 Savage or unless you're Audio Phase, because we're going to be making a lot of content that month.
That's way too much content.
So we are going to be covering all of that. That's going to be great. But right now, we're going to go right into another, I guess, our regularly scheduled programming. Because God knew if... Because Jesus is King was also late. So
CPT.
Yeah.
Rex Orange County, he released Pony. 10 songs, 33 minutes long. One thing that I did notice from all four albums that we're reviewing today is that they're all about half an hour.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Considering that it's a trend we've been noticing for good, I think for better for a lot of artists, depending on the style of music you make. But I think for all four of these albums, they need to be half an hour to make sure they're not stagnant. And I can say the same.
Also, as music reviewers, I'm very happy.
Yeah, because that way,
if we had to do four albums, it was at least like kind of doable.
This album's interesting to me because I don't know. Rex Orange County's always hit and miss for me. I don't know if I don't like his voice or something. I'm still trying to pinpoint. There's something about his music that I don't know. I just can't vibe with. But that's just me in general. This album is okay. I did not like the first song at all, 10 out of 10. I did like the second song always, and then it started to get a little bit better from there. It started off the wrong foot with me. I don't know what's up with 10 out of 10, but I don't know if I didn't like is the lyrics to it, plus the vocals. It just sounded really whiny. I guess for the first track for me. After that, it started to get a little bit better. compared to what we reviewed, which album from him? Was it Apricot Princess? Did we review? We definitely reviewed something. I think that's what it was. That was 2017. And that was. Yeah. He's getting better at his work. And this album is getting more into the vibe of that indie pop kind of genre of a way. But that's also really broad. Tessa Violet is way more poppy, but that's,
yeah, like this is definitely less poppy.
It's
more
less
like,
poppy, but it's definitely still a bit more upbeat, kind of like Surfaces in a way. Yeah. But to me, Surfaces has way more of lyrical control, a bit more flow and fun compared to Rex Orange County. I think that's my problem: is the lyrics and vocals don't quite go along with the production. It just, they feel like they're contradicting each other constantly.
Yeah,
I think that's my problem, there's a tension between the two.
And like,
I know a lot of people that like it. I don't know, I've never gotten really big into his music, and this album isn't bad.
Yeah, I think it's, this is his bad, like most,
it's,
so
it's definitely better than the one that we've reviewed before, and better than things that I've heard from him in the past.
Yeah,
for sure.
I love the So I think that around the part you said it started to get a little bit better was, I think that album's somewhere strongest point around getting from Laser Lights down to Pluto Projector. And
Pluto Laser Projector Lights is a good song.
Palm to the face. When we have to speak, I usually shoot gaze. And if I saw you in public, I would pretend to tie my shoelace just so we avoid the what's up. You'll never love me like they do. You'll never love me like she does. You, I could never commit to. I'm too fond of my own freedom. I know you're all about the checks, but boy, I don't need them.
Yeah. You like Laser Lights, and then I like the one at the end. Pluto Projector is a hell of a song. Because I just. Pluto Projector also does that in the middle.
In the middle, yeah, different thing. Exactly.
And it adds, I do like that. Memorable depth to that.
Yeah, and so, Boob Projector is a good song.
I think Rex Orange County is really growing as far as production goes, and I think I kind of compare him, I'm really bad at this, but like Mac DeMarco for me, especially in the 10s, was such this sort of center of having a quirky sort of twangy tone to not just your voice, but kind of your production. That is definitely a hit or miss for some people. For some people, they really love it and they like fall in love with it. And some people just like grating to the ears and represents this tension. But I think like even from an artistic way, you can see that there's like this tension in the line it's writing because it's sort of British, like punk cowboy, not like punk music wise, but like punk because I'm like, hey, look at that punk over there.
You know, like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because I like Mac DeMarco's music a lot.
Yeah, but I've got the similar, like, not necessarily from you, but I've heard, like, similar assessments of his voice in that way, where it is like that. But I think this is definitely some of his best work yet. And
oh, for sure. Definitely. Like, objectively, I could definitely go along
like
with that.
My biggest complaint with this album was that in the ways where I felt like he was growing and showing the most of what he could be, it was also kind of going back into the things that could feel a little bit, like, awkward and disjointed. Maybe for better of like fan service and what they liked, but also not like as great for a completed work, you know?
Right.
Arbitrary scale terrorist killings. I could call this the Obama bin Laden.
The Obama bin Laden?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go one of the many failed attempts of the SAS to kill Hitler.
Oh God.
One of the many. So Lizzo releases an actual statement about Truth Hurts, her plagiarism claims and stuff that we talked about last week.
Yeah.
You know, not which is on the shortlist for the Vanilla Ice Award. Apparently, she said that the brothers, like, they did not help her write any part of the song.
Yeah.
She'll give credit to the tweet.
So there was like a tweet that was like very similar to the I just took a Dina Lala line. And she's giving credit to the author of that tweet, saying that I came up with the lyric myself, but it's similar to that tweet that I didn't see at the time, so whatever, I'll give the credit, because that's how you would kind of do a normal thing. I'm not sure why that logic doesn't apply here. She says that they signed off any, like, claim to have written any part of the song, even though the both versions of the song just sound so similar that I think that it's fair to have given credit. Even still, it's not nearly like the worst.
It's definitely not the worst, but you can 100% hear it. So she fess up.
Yeah. Frank Ocean got a little bit of backlash
for his
prep dance party. A, because it just like kind of was low quality. B, because it was, it seemed like it was sponsored by the big pharma company that made PrEP and profited off of like distributing it or not distributing it. C, it didn't seem to like honor the LGBTQ community and the HIV/AIDS history enough. So a lot of people just weren't happy about it. Frank said he apologized for it and meant kind of bad by it. And the second one was a little less poppin', had way fewer people, but apparently people were having like sex in the background and like
down
a bunch of random shit was
super down.
So that's currently how Frank Ocean's album rollout is going. Kind of smoother than Kanye's, actually.
I'm down. Why not?
Yes. You know, let's save us from this weird hell of news and let's just talk about Sad Boys.
Cigarettes After Sex, Cry, their album, which is 9 songs, 40 minutes long. So again, in that little window, each song is about 4.5 minutes long, which is interesting. Definitely sad boys.
Yeah.
Boy, B-O-I.
But that's like Cigarettes After Sex in general.
Yeah, I mean,
like, it's in the name.
Yes.
Literally every album they've released, every single or EP, like, is in black and white. Like, it's just...
All right. The 1975. Okay.
Yeah.
You know what you're getting into. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually not bad. I do enjoy it. It's slow, but I, you know me, I don't mind slow music. The lyrics...
Ladies.
Okay.
I was just saying, Shaw doesn't like slow music. I liked it too, for the record. Like, even though I usually hate slow music.
I like slow music. That's why I play piano. Anyways, ladies. it's interesting because it gets really super, super sad boy. I mean, you could, all right, I'll give you a rundown of each of the song titles. Don't Let Me Go, Kiss It Off Me, pause. Heavenly, You're the Only Good Thing in My Life, Touch, Hentai.
We'll get back to that.
We'll get back. Let's put a little dot in that and we'll get back. Cry, Falling in Love, and Pure. So it's definitely hitting the feelings, not fake Drake crying all the time, like actually sad boys. Like this is
the
this
emotions is, you would have if you were having a cigarette after I'm sex.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
It's good. I do like the opening's track, sets the tone of the album, and it sticks through it the whole time, but it doesn't get stagnant, which is good. Because that was my fear of it. The first two songs were pretty slow on it, but you can get into it if you get into that sad feeling mood.
Yeah.
But to me, this is an album you listen to at night.
Right.
You know, because if you listen to it during the daytime and whatnot, you're like, okay, you can only go so far. So I didn't listen to it last night.
Well, listen to it during the day if you live in one of those parts of the world where, like, you don't have sun for half the year.
I mean, okay, Iceland. Iceland has sun, like, 24/7.
Hey, shout out to the Alaskan listeners of the podcast.
Right. It's good.
I think there's
a song called Hentai.
We put a pin in that. We'll come back to that in a moment.
I know, I just
Heavenly, because you said the first two songs, like, well, first song kind of like starts it off not slow, well, you know, slow, but not slow.
Yeah, and then, exactly. Like,
if you listen to Don't Let Me Go, you'll really kind of understand it. Mm-hmm. But then it kind of picks up around the Heavenly. Third song, yeah. Heavenly.
Which is a great track.
And they're like the songs that really do the best things for me, which is Heavenly and then later on Falling in Love, just have this like they're really yeah. great bass line. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think of that. Yeah. They do have like a good bass line.
And it's like the way the bass line is good, because there's a lot of good just like notes that you put together that sound really nice, is that this is actually a relatively it's like unscrewed around with bass. It's a very sort of like raw sound. Like exactly. You just like plug into an amp, not really also, modified
the
or
the guitar, the same thing with the guitar, just the guitar has a lot of reverb on it. That's pretty much it. But it's clean tone. Maybe you switch it to both pickups and then you put a shit ton of reverb on it.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the sound. But I like it because it's nice to have clean, wholesome instruments every once in a while.
Yeah, and it's also interesting how like they've made it with clean Holstrom instruments and it still has like such this emotional depth. It doesn't feel lo-fi either.
It feels
really like complete and borderline orchestral but still like small rock feel.
Yeah, well, it's like how Dive does that too.
Yeah,
it's like that where it's you have to be a very good musician in order to play an instrument clean, especially guitar, bass, any string instruments clean and put emotion into it. It's not easy.
Yeah. And then we get to Hentai.
And then there's that. Like, I gotta look up the lyrics for this song.
Yeah, so
all right, pin. Here we go.
So first of all, be very careful if you Google the name of the song. Just always Google Buy Cigarettes After Sex off of the album Cry directly after that.
Okay. I was like, please, Lord, don't click images. Whatever you do, do not click images.
Okay, you know what? We should be unfair because this song is going to play at someone's wedding and it's going to be very, very...
I know people that...
It's going to be a warm, time. No. We won't name names. We're not be there because... anyways, it's just like... it's just like a very interesting song because like Cigarettes After Sex at times they're a very like band that takes themselves seriously and gets in their feelings a lot and it's very like interesting.
And then there's
this. Then at other times it's just like I'm gonna write a song about being like a complete total like creepy weirdo girl. And
here we go, here's the weird whitey.
There's a hentai video that I saw. I told you about the night that we first made love, about a girl who, as soon as she made you come, could show you the future and tell you your fortune. Beautiful parts are in your eyes. I've been
Yeah, I mean, once you know from the first, like, verse.
And it goes, there was a hentai video that I saw. I told you about the night that we first made love. About a girl who, soon as she made you come, showed you the future, told you your future.
No, God damn it. Would show you the future and tell you your fortune.
Oh, fortune.
Yes.
Fortune.
Oh, yes. Yeah. God, if you're going to read, do it right, damn it.
No, I can't fucking
you
read.
You need to show this song justice, damn it. And then there's another verse that goes, told you I wanted to die in an airplane crash over the ocean, thought it was romantic, but you didn't like it, thought it was stupid. Oh, thinking of me dead is making you feel bad.
Oh, Lord.
So it's like, personally really cringy, and I think that's really hilarious about it.
That's every dude that goes to downtown Fullerton.
Every guy with a Fu, like, Manchu kind of beard who's like Manchu, a white dude. Rough. Like, that's really kind of where we're going for with this. But,
yeah.
It is honestly, like, if I could just not pay attention to the lyrics, a really, like, nicely, smoothly, well-produced song.
Oh, the song, like, produces so well, but I was laughing the entire time because that first line, I'm like,
yeah.
And like, I didn't know what the song was titled. I just looked at my phone. I'm like, okay.
The rest of the album is, like, really, like, well-produced, and that's, like, really, like, emotionally moving songs, and there's just, like, a random curveball in here that just, like, really, like, stuck out to me, but, like, hey, they got people talking about it, so it's that really good. Anyways, I'm gonna consider this to be, you know, we've been talking about Obama a little bit with the, terrorist kill attempts, so I'm gonna say these are the drone weddings.
The drone weddings, okay.
Yeah. Because, you know, it's, like, a beautiful kind of horrific, like, feeling of euphoria that is
Secret Service missions
usually in black and white on video.
Yeah that works. What would this be for me? It's a good question. I might give the CEO Osama bin Laden. The old ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Okay, I gave that to another one, but you're allowed to do that for sure.
Exactly, because we have different opinions.
Yeah. And that's allowed.
And that's why we have our arbitrary system, because it doesn't make sense until the end of the year.
Yeah, it barely matters.
Exactly. So musicians are ganging up together. Gang mentality.
Gang mentality.
Yeah. They apparently they signed a petition asking Amazon to cut ties with ICE. I don't know if there's, like, a list of the musicians on here or not. Or like prominent musicians, I should say.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're...
Because for people who don't know, you can stream music on Amazon. Don't do it. Fuck Bezos. But a lot of people can get revenue from Amazon Music or Prime Music, whatever it's called. I don't know. But I know people that use it.
People use it because, like, oh, it comes to Amazon Prime. It's just like, oh, your Walmart Costco membership thing, whatever. But there's also a festival that Amazon AWS is putting on, because Amazon AWS is now competing with Insomniac.
Dude, AWS is everywhere and it's scaring me.
But you know what, actually, to make the Syndicate 23 political report for like 2 seconds, you know how Amazon was trying to get an AWS deal with the government, with the Pentagon?
Mm-hmm.
End up going to Microsoft, which makes me like, if the Amazon thing scared me +9, the Microsoft deal scares me +7. Still scares me, but it's like a little bit less, just a slightly less.
Yeah, AWS sponsors way too many things.
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of artists, a lot of them like smaller, but like Black Madonna is pulling out of the Intersect Festival that's being hosted in Las Vegas, which has a pretty good lineup, but like also probably has also, like the Amazon cameras that like
also
sign you into
the thing. Also, it's the ICE of the young Bush administration that put in after 9/11 to... on the border. It's that ICE.
And Customs and Border Patrol, which has been found to have been covering up sexual assault and homicide at the border. So, it's neither of this is
and
really
I,
good.
And I said, what's rapey about that?
Yeah, abolish ICE. Anyway, to get this out of politics, but to still keep talking about ICE, we have another Vanilla Ice Award winner.
Yeah, baby. So,
Juice WRLD is getting sued by pop punk band Yellow Card for $15 million.
It's a hard 15 right there.
Yeah. Oof. So the song Lucid Dreams sounds a lot like the Hollywood Died song released in 2006 and is seeking $15 million in royalties to a song. You want to know the funniest part?
Oh, I've had phones on me. Damn
it. It turns out that Juice WRLD has only about $15 million to his name.
Yes. Big. They probably did that on purpose, actually. They found out what's his net worth? All his assets, everything.
Literally, the lawyers took literally the phrase, sue him for every red penny he's worth.
Red penny. Red penny. That's how you know they're trying to get him dead.
Okay. Oof. So I'll just like edit around this, but there's the Juice WRLD part.
I have these lucid dreams where I can't move a thing, thinking of you in my bed. You were my everything, thoughts of a wedding ring. Now I'm just better off dead. I'll do it over again. I didn't want it to end. Now watch it blow in the wind. I should've listened to it.
So this,
this is not the most egregious thing I've heard.
It's no, I mean it's not Canada. It's yeah, not Canada. It, I mean, for 15 mil, that's for that. I don't think you can win that.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be like pretty funny to see Juice WRLD literally sued for every venue.
I mean, I want to see it because Juice WRLD sucks. But
Juice WRLD is of all the like SoundCloud trap sad boy rappers, it's not the worst. He makes too much music, but like still. Anyways, last album, we made it, boys. Podcast. Bad Ideas by Tessa Violet.
Wow, I stroked out there.
okay, yeah, Mr. Biden.
Whoa, okay.
Because we were doing a thing for the podcast.
So Tessa Violet, Bad Ideas, 11 songs, 32 minutes long. Definitely this is where it's pop indie, for sure.
Yes.
I don't know if I like it or I don't like it. I'm still on the fence of this album. Because my problem is the poppiness of it is a little too poppy. But her lyrics and her voice on it is actually fantastic. So I don't... Is this her first full thing?
I believe.
Or no, I think she's done one thing.
Like, no, this is her first full thing.
Like she's done an EP. There you go. I know she did EP a few years ago that I heard.
Yeah. Holloway.
Yeah. I think if she had different production on this, it would have been fantastic. But to me, it was... I don't know. I mean, that's my problem of pop in general, is that it's stagnant right now. I mean, there are people that are doing different things with it, but the production of it's like trap, where you have all these producers that sound very alike, and it can get very monotonous at times. Yeah. And that's the problem. So the production of this isn't that great, but her lyrics and her voice and the stuff that she does on it is fantastic. So it's just the continual fight of that within the album, of trying to figure out what it wants to do.
I can work with you on that. Like, I would say that
it's good.
The weakness of this album is that it is very poppy.
Yeah. She's in that genre of indie pop, to where that's a genre that can very easily swing two different ways, because you have the Rex Orange County way, which is more of that true indie sound, and then you have this, which is more of a poppy sound, but it's kind of caught in between the two, because it's not like Ariana Grande, Troye Sivan. Well, Troye Sivan's very good. Ariana Grande's crap.
Ariana Grande is, you know what? I will give Ariana Grande. She got a retweet from Bernie Sanders and was like super supportive of it. Also, TI's for Bernie. Just putting it out there. Anyways.
Okay.
Just saying. What were your favorites from this album?
I like The Idea of You. I think that's if I recall it correctly, that's an acoustic song. I definitely like it. Yeah, Wistful Drinking is very good. I like how it's the prelude starts the album off. I've been talking about that for every album. It starts the album off right. I do enjoy it. Also, I know she cited people that she likes, and Troye Sivan's one of those people she listens to.
Yes.
So she definitely listens to a lot of pop. So it makes sense why she produced it, but I want her to venture out a little bit more. Granted, I think this is her first LP, or
yeah, call
it.
For sure.
I mean, it is an LP. It's 11 songs. It's good. She's an up-and-coming artist that she randomly started making music.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, like,
she's very, and she's talented. She's good.
You briefly touched upon, like, lyrically, this is really good, and so like, mm-hmm. this is a. I want you to elaborate more on that, because this is a really good like album that touches upon like love, and we talk about albums that do this really well, and we talk about albums that do this really poorly. Because like we shit on Taylor Swift for almost the same thing, but then we talk about like Georgia Smith. We talk about a lot of other artists who do this, and so like. I found the thing I noticed with the album is that it starts off being like this infatuation. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk about from all angles, from like, I have a crush on you, to I love everything about you, to it sort of switches and it turns kind of different and twists a little bit. Almost till you get to the song like Bored or Honest. My choice of weapon, poison tastes like my resentment. Where would I go? Where would you go? Hey, hey, no. Guess I'm not doing well. I'm not doing well, oh, 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 no. I'm not doing well, I'm not doing well, oh, 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 no. I'm no good tonight, no, I don't feel alright, oh. Where it's like the love is fizzling out, it's dying out. So it's
yeah,
like this,
but and that's why I like the song. I like the idea of you. The lyrics are meaningful.
Yeah.
In a way. Because it's the verse. I'll go for a couple of the verses. I've got a radar for trouble and you're a renegade. I take a leap and I stumble while you are unafraid. I keep repeating the way you say my name. I try convincing my friends that you're not right for me. We just don't make any sense, but still you fight for me. I keep repeating the way we shouldn't be. So it's one of those where even though someone is fighting for you or something along in a relationship or just infatuation, you know that it won't work, or you're not feeling the same thing. You're just not feeling it. Because that happens, yeah. I mean, how many times has that happened between friends and other things in history? That's why there's called friend zoning, which, damn, it's like, poor enough for a brother, press F.
F's in chat.
F's in chat, F, F, F. There's no, the chat goes, because she goes F's.
But like, it's...
But it's stuff like that where she makes it meaningful of just everyday emotion. Because, again, we've talked about it before, of different artists who, some do it right, some do it, you know, cliche, dog shit, very boring, cliche. Yeah. And this is definitely on the other side of making it actually meaningful and good. So that's why I like this song so much.
Yeah.
It's because I've known people that have gone through it and stuff. Who've gone through it and who I've seen it time and time again. So
This is like in some ways definitely in some songs kind of super relatable, but I like that this is created a project that's like an ode to reckless love and all the different like aspects of it. So it's not like one dimensional. I think that was my favorite part of the album. Arbitrary scale. I'm going to make this like one of the kamikaze pilots that survived.
Dude, I just saw a picture of a, it might have been a destroyer that had the burned impression of a fucking of a vowel that was a kamikaze because he missed, and then just an impression. I gotta find that picture and show you.
Okay,
because you said that kamikaze, I'm like, that's kind of wild.
Okay, yeah. Oh no, you know what it is? This is when the Russian government kills you at lunch.
Damn, just like straight into you.
It's like he eats like a tomato. Passes out into his plate and goes, what happened? Stroke.
Stroke. Okay. So he had stroke. So he goes on his conference. I'm afraid to say that he had a stroke. No questions at this time, please. This is
out of respect for his family.
Out of respect for his family, we please refrain from asking questions. This is the Chinese government when they that one guy who was, wanted to sit with the protesters, whatnot, in Tiananmen Square, but they removed him from office.
Oh yeah, which one?
Which one? I don't know. Well, I don't know what I was talking about there.
Okay, quick hits. Now we're ending the show. So there's a man named Tupac Shakur.
Tupac Shakur.
Who just got arrested for possession of meth.
Dog food.
Including aggravated assault, resisting arrest, and unlawful drug paraphernalia to go along with that meth.
It's rough. He definitely has seen a thing or two.
He's a native of Elizabethton, Tennessee, with a long history of criminal activity. At some point, he decided to change his name to exactly match that of the late rapper, so that is not like his real name.
Okay.
Yeah, that just happened. I really just wanted to show the picture because that's just super funny. So let's talk about the one where TMZ accidentally snitched on Eminem and he got a little knock knock from El Secret Service.
Speaking of our arbitrary scale,
the Rap Snitch Conditions Award might actually go to TMZ.
I'm kind of down, actually.
We could do it.
So
you remember
the stupidest headline I've seen in a while.
It's a well done editor. So remember when Eminem released that song that was kind of a threat to Ivanka Trump and Donald Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
It said like Donald ducks on as Tonka truck in the yard, but dog, how the fuck is Ivanka Trump in the Ivanka Trump in the trunk of my car? But that's a reverse. So after TMZ reported on it, they asked the White House for comment. Apparently, that comment was passed on to the Secret Service.
Oh, Jesus.
And then Eminem got a little...
And they got a little knock, be like, open, Secret Service, open. And he's like, ah, shit, I had the coke.
So it's like, Mr. Mathers?
Mr. Mathers, oof. Mom's spaghetti.
Okay, so they're even including some documents that are related to this. It says, this is not the first time Mathers made threatening comments towards POTUS and his family. In June 27, Mathers freestyled comments that are made in threatening nature toward POTUS. So,
he really is a whiny little bitch.
By the way, POTUS. Free speech warrior Donald Trump over here.
Right.
It's just, they're the biggest bitches about free speech. And lastly, because we always like ending audio face on a fun note and because we're running out of time to record this podcast, T-Pain canceled his tour on Instagram via Instagram because he had low ticket sales. And he was like pretty joyful and honest about it. He's like, yeah, you gotta listen, you gotta be honest. Like most people, when they cancel things, they're trying to tell me to lie and say, oh, I had family issues, no, I had personal stuff to work out. Like, no, we just tried to do the tour 1 month before we were actually about to go out. We didn't plan it right. We had the wrong venues and people weren't buying tickets. So we were just like, eh, forget it. We'll just do it later. We weren't gonna do the right show. I wouldn't have been proud of the show. So you know what? I'm just gonna tell you, we're just gonna cancel it. I'm sorry, we'll refund your tickets. We're gonna do it better next time, I promise you. Totally okay with that.
This has been Audio Face.
T-Pain did a really good job with that, right?
Yeah. Like, all right.
Keeping it real. Don't get that much in music, so that's great.
We really don't. This has been Audio Face, episode 118. And we are a podcast.
We are a podcast that's wrapping up.
So very exactly. Yes. I just wanted an ode to my opening statement that I flubbed heavily. Anyway, so you can find us on all the social medias at Audio Face Pod on Twitter and Instagram. And you can find me at SW Suarez on all the same platforms as well. Follow Dan at Dan from the web on Twitter and Dan from the internet on Instagram. And find us on YouTube at something.
YouTube.audioface.show.
There we go.
It's the URL you can type into your browser. And then you'll go immediately to the page.
Or just go to Instagram where on our page. Do we have a link on that?
No, it's a link to our website. But like, it's a podcast you should listen to. There are videos you should watch. You should do that. Okay, so thank you for listening and watching. This has been a hell of an episode. We haven't had a long episode in a minute. Yeah.
Pay our taxes. Bye.
Cheers.
I mean, someone on a podcast I listened to like 10 years ago or something said, you know, every choice in my life has inadvertently been something to get me laid. Every single choice in my life. And I go, thought back, I go, you know, in a way, I think he's right. Which is funny.
I'm not sure. I think there are definitely...
It's just a funny point he brought up.
You can kind of look at your life in any sort of fatalistic way, what led, every single choice in my life has ultimately led me to talking about Kanye West's porn addiction with my, friend Sean. You can kind of focus any sort of context you want and will into what you want to be and say that every event in your life kind of led up to that in sort of like a dude pass the bond kind of way, I think, but like... He asked his collaborators not to have premarital sex while working on the album Jesus is King, which is a choice to me.
Yeah. Apparently he still plans to run for president in 2024. Lovely.
MAGA. Okay, so think about this.
Oh, dear God. Here we go. Here's the dawn of the Syndicate 23 political report. Here we go.
No. The bombs kind of haven't gone off yet, even though... Albig, whatever.
Not me, Turkey. What?
Anyways, so let's say it's 2024, Trump actually decides to step down, but we've got Trump Jr., Eric Trump, one of the Romneys, Trish Reagan.
Trish Reagan, that's super
Ronald random. Reagan III. Yeah. And Kanye West in the Republican primary. Oh, and Ted Cruz, because he still thinks he has a chance. Do you think Kanye can make it out of that on the debate stage?
I mean, he would just say the randomest shit, and yes, I'm 100%.
That'd be really funny to watch. I mean, I'm down for him to run.
I'd grab my popcorn and get
ready. Yeah, absolutely.